Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. I'm Doug Fain. On today's program, we'll be talking about a fellow who used to live here in town, a very colorful guy, one of the nicest men you'll ever want to meet. His name was Milton Stinnett. A lot of people called him Red. Red Stinnett worked at the stockyards, was an auctioneer, just an all-around good guy. We're going to be talking to his wife, Teenie, and his daughter, Judy, right here on All Things Jessamine, and we'll do that right after this word from our sponsor, the Farmers Bank of Jessamine County.
Beginnings are important, especially when it comes to building a future. From start to finish, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County will be with you every step of the way. Whether it's a house, a car, a college fund, or saving for retirement, it all starts here. Stop by any of our four convenient Jessamine County locations today or visit us on the web at myfarmersbank.net. Banking with friends and neighbors, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County, equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. Glad to have you with us as we continue to remember and learn about people, places, and things of Jessamine County. Now, the first time I remember the fellow we're going to talk about, we just had a good laugh before the program about this, but he would come to my grandmother's barn, which was right across the road from where I grew up on Union Mill Road, and pick up her cow. She raised cattle and she had milk cows and she had dairy beef cattle and all that. And he'd pick them up, take them to stockyards. See, I'm getting it all straight now. Anyway, we're going to talk about a guy named Milton Stinnett. Now, most people knew him as Red Stinnett. Well, with us today, we have his wife, Teenie, and his daughter, Judy, who has come in to visit from Texas, where she lives, and they're going to be here today talking to us about Red. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Glad to have you guys, and I appreciate you coming in to talk about him. Well, let's start with the first question is, where was Red born? When was he born? Tell us about his mom and dad, his family, how he got to be.
Well, he was born in 1931, January the 8th, 1931. He was born in Potter, and his mother and daddy live in Fane's place. Mm-hmm. It was snowing that day, he was telling me, and said his daddy was busy cutting wood so they could keep
the house
in the house and everything. Yeah. And so he weighed 10 pounds and 8 ounces when he was born.
He was a big
one. Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
And you know, people that remember Red wasn't a very tall fella. He was not a big guy, but my gosh, he was bigger as a baby than he was as an adult almost. 10'8", bless her heart, how in the world. Now, let me ask you, he had a brother named Bennis. Was that just those two?
Yes, the two.
Was he the...
Bennis was the oldest.
Bennis was the oldest. Mm-hmm. So by the time Red came along, Bennis was already born. 10'8", I'm still amazed at that.
Yep.
Born at home. And down in Pollard, you said.
Yes.
All right. So who was his parents?
Hobus Stinnett
and Ada
Corman Bowman.
Now, did his dad farm?
Yes, he did.
Okay.
And
he hauled cattle, too.
Oh, he did. So it was kind of in the family.
He had a little pickup that he would haul small animals to the stockyard for people.
All right. So I guess he went to Pollard School. Went down in that area somewhere.
Well, no, he went to Little Hickman.
Okay.
South to Well.
So he was all in that area
there.
Yes,
Now,
at some point in time, and I don't know where it would have played out, high school or after, how did he run into you? How did you two get together?
Well, he finished eighth grade.
Okay, so he went through eighth grade, which was typical back then for a lot of farm people especially. They'd go to eighth grade, and that was it.
And then he started working at the stockyard, of course.
Yeah.
Well, way we met in 1948.
Uh-huh.
And he just got his first car, his white car. And, you know, then days we could walk down to, from High Stew down to Hempfields and had a lunch with him.
Right.
So, of course, he knew Betty Oates and Pauline Locker and Panalina Warner and all them, but he didn't know me.
Now, before you go on, you were Slugans.
Yes, I was.
Who's your parents, Teenie?
And my mama was a Drury. D-R-U-R-Y, after Drury, and from Sales. And my daddy was Joe Slughans. And
now, you grew up around the Vince Road area, is that right?
Well, we was 12 years old when we moved to Jess McKenna from Versailles.
From Versailles, okay. But you did go to Nicholasville High.
I went to Nicholasville High.
All right, so you came to Hempfields.
And we was coming to Hempfields. He stopped and picked us up. Of course, Betty Oates was sitting next to him, and I was sitting on the side of the door. He asked Betty who I was, and Betty told him, and I said to myself, you other looking thing, I don't think I'm going to go with you. To myself. So anyway, we went on down, and so finally I met him again, and we started going together. And yeah. We went together to 1951.
So
and I graduated from high school in 51 in May.
Yeah.
And we got married September the 27th.
Oh, right out of high school.
I sure did.
Wow. So it was got serious, but it took a little while. You said 3 years.
Yeah.
You said your first impression, you was like, who is that? Did he talk as much back then as he did when I knew him?
You knew Red, didn't you?
Yeah. That was him.
Yes.
That was him. So you guys got married, you said, in 51.
Uh-huh.
Now, when did this one come along?
1954.
So you had three years there.
Well, she was born in Fort Sill, Oklahoma.
Okay.
Milt was in the service.
All right. Tell us about his military. Was he in the Army?
Yes.
Yeah. Was that something he did on his own, or did Uncle Sam?
No, he was drafted. You know, them days they draft you.
Yeah.
In 1952, he went into the service, and they sent him to Camp Chapter, Arkansas. 6 months there, and then he went to Fort Sill, Oklahoma.
Uh-huh.
And then I went out there, and when he got stationed, I stayed with him.
Right.
And Junior was born in 1954. So they was going to send him overseas with our group, and they found out that Milton was in the service and was having a baby. Well, going to have a baby.
Right.
So they sent the other boy, and I think this other boy wasn't too happy.
Well, I guess.
So she was born at Fort Sill, Oklahoma Hospital.
All right. How long did you guys stay out there?
And in 6 months, he got out of service.
Okay.
And it was in New Bannon, and we came in, a big snow. And so Bennett met us here in town at Price Filling Station. You know where that was?
Right, yeah, right down the street. Shug Price.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then he brought us home to his mom and daddy's place. And so we stayed with them till we bought a house down at Black Bridge. And him and Benny bought it together, and we moved down there.
Now, prior to going in the service, was he already working at the stockyard?
He started working at the stockyard when he was 14 years old.
And he worked there till he died, didn't he?
Yes. Sidney is 63 years.
Wow.
That was his first home.
I guess so. I mean, and that is what I remember, him driving that huge truck. Now, he did some other things. We're going to get into that in just a little bit. But that was the main thing, was working for Bluegrass Stockyards for all those years.
He loved it.
Wonder how many pounds of livestock he hauled in that truck. No telling.
Thousands and thousands.
Just, it would be amazing to know, wouldn't it?
I think he had 4 new trucks.
So you all came home. Judy's born. You got a baby to raise. And he goes back to the stockyards. And
he went back to stockyards. And then he found out, I don't know what year it was, but he went to an auctioneer stew at Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
And so he became an auctioneer.
What brought that on, do you know?
I think his uncle, Duck Bowman.
Yeah.
You know, he used to be a cop here in town.
Yeah.
He wanted Milton to do, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
So he became an auctioneer.
Yeah.
And his first sale was out on Jessamine Station Pipe.
Of course, that would be a perfect job for him.
Because he loved to talk.
Yeah, he would, and he was good at it.
Yeah,
I mean,
he did
a lot of good stuff.
And he really did like it. Oh, yes, he loved it. And then he became the auctioneer up to the Blue Jay Stockyard.
Yeah.
Selling hogs and things. And, of course, you know, he loved that. So that's about the end of the stockyard. I mean,
yeah. Red was a colorful guy. And I say that with all complimentary as I could be. I don't know that he ever met a stranger, did he?
He didn't. But when he came to Texas, he'd go to church with us, and he'd just go up and start talking to people, and just everybody loved him.
Yeah.
No matter where he went.
And every time I ever saw him, he always acted the same.
Never changed.
Now, you mentioned Texas. How did you end up down there?
My husband and I met on a telephone strike. We met in October, were engaged in December, and married the next June.
Wow, that was quick, too, wasn't it?
We don't mess around.
What did Mom and Daddy think about that?
They were a little shocked, I think. They loved him.
We love him.
Yeah.
And then he worked for the telephone company. We lived in Lexington.
Mm-hmm.
We moved to Ashland, Kentucky. Our first Scott was born in Ashland, Kentucky. Then we got transferred back to Lexington, then to North Carolina, and then to Texas.
They probably were more shocked at the moving part than they were the getting married part.
Yes, I cried for 4 days when they moved to North Carolina.
I bet. That's got to be tough.
But you know what? An angel came to me and said, suppose she's up to the dread yard, you have something to cry about.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I hushed right then.
You're right. You know, it's just like everything else, Tina. Somebody's always got a little bit worse, don't they?
Yeah.
If you just look, you can always find that. Now, I know he was also involved in a lot of other things, big in the church.
Hauling coal.
Big in hauling that. Now, he and Bennis both hauled that coal. Did Bennis work the stockyards, too?
Yes.
So they kind of were...
They were a team.
They were a parallel, weren't they? Because I really had not thought about him hauling the coal. I remember that, I guess, more with Bennis for some reason. I don't know why.
Yeah.
But, yeah, a lot of coal back in the times when that was...
That's all we had was
all
coal
you
stoves
had.
And furnaces, coal furnaces.
Yeah, stuff. My how things have changed.
He really has. I mean, he hauled coal for your granny.
Yeah.
When she
was
burning a furnace, you know, stove of coal.
Yeah.
And everything.
A lot of work. Now, did you work outside the home?
No, I didn't until Judy got a little older, and I went to work at Rosewall Cafeteria, and I worked there for
about 5 years. Oh, at the school?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then I helped R.J. Corman in his cafeteria for a while.
Did you really?
But Judy was drunk.
Yeah.
And everything.
Yeah.
So, yes. And we had a wonderful life together. That's one thing.
You know, you're talking about his work, and the things you mentioned, hauling the cattle... And hauling the coal, that happens when people need it, especially the coal.
Mm-hmm.
I remember growing up how many times that we would get up in the morning to get ready to go to school and realize that the cistern was out of water and you'd have to call Lewis Mulkey real quick, come bring you a load before you couldn't get ready. And it's kind of like the coal. For some reason, sometimes a lot of people wait till the last minute. He was almost like he was on call.
He was.
Yeah, because they called on a ton of coal because he wasn't selling coal here in town.
Right.
You know? And he'd go to coal mines and stay all night some nights, you know, to load up.
Is
the
that
coal
right?
Many times.
Yeah. Now, you all were involved in the church for many years, too.
Yes, we was. And Milton became a deacon at the Nixville Baptist Church.
But now, was your family, I think, were they longtime members?
Yes,
Of that church?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then we moved to Edgewood now.
Yeah. Let me ask you, Judy, as a daughter, give me a word to describe Red Stennett.
Oh, gosh.
Now let's do this two different ways. As a dad, do it as your dad first. That's the hardest question you'll have all day.
He was the best. I mean, that's all I can describe him.
Passionate, caring guy.
I loved to be with Dad. You know, I waited for that truck to come down that driveway so I could get in it and go with him.
Now, if you were somebody looking at his life and his interaction with other people, describe him that way. Not necessarily as a dad, but as a person in the community.
He was a person that loved everyone, no matter who they were, where they came from, their background. He loved to help people. He was always, you know, giving. Whenever a newborn baby was born, he would give them a $2 bill.
Really?
He carried $2 bills in his billfold. And whenever a new baby was born and he knew the family, he would send a $2 bill to that baby.
Isn't that amazing?
And there's a lot of them floating around.
There's days like that. You just don't hear about people like that. You mentioned that. I remember we mentioned water. How many quarters Brady Teeter probably
gave us? Oh, yeah, I got a lot of those, too.
And it's kind of like these $2 bills. You just don't realize probably people you didn't even know about.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, when if people needed coal and they didn't have the money, you know, Dad.
Yeah. Take care of him.
Yeah, he'd take care of him.
Take care of him. How would you describe him, Teenie? Now, you've got a different perspective than she does. It's daddy's, especially to a girl. What about as a husband? How would you describe him if you had to wrap it up in a word or two?
Well, I want to say this. Judy never would come in the house, and her daddy wasn't at home. She always said, "Where's my daddy?" She never said, "Where's my mama?" "Where's my daddy?" She always put that "my daddy" on it. Well, Milton was a wonderful person to me. He never mistreated me. He always was there for me, and I didn't have to worry about him coming in, you know.
Yeah. He's straight.
Yes.
Good acting, yeah. Knew how to act. That's the thing.
He was a good Christian.
Yeah, knew how to act. That's
and
right.
He knew, I mean, Milton done lots of good deeds that he never told me about. Because he always said, what is it? Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And he's helped many poor folks.
Yeah.
And they come and tell me, and I said, I didn't know it.
And I bet you anything that when he died, you probably learned more about things he had done that you had no idea
of. Yes.
From people, then you could, you probably weren't surprised, but.
But it was nice to hear.
Yeah. Yeah, it's always nice to hear those kind of things. And it, and what's nice about it, what we call the ripple effect, is that things that he may have done for somebody, you don't know how that will affect down the road. I mean, there may be people today that are doing something for somebody because they remember what he did for them 30 years ago.
We hope so.
And isn't that amazing how that works? The times that I was around him, he was always the same. I would assume he's like anybody. He probably could have a temper if he needed to, but probably pretty
strong. He had red hair, remember?
Huh? Yeah. Yes, he did have
But he didn't have a temper.
Really?
No. Milt never did have a temper.
Is that, well, that's unusual.
He never gave me a spanking or a whipping. Yeah. He'd always tell Mother, you need to take care of it. I think he might have whipped me one time.
That's why she didn't ask for you when she came in the house, Tammy. But my mother did the same thing. She took care of it. All those, I never will forget. I used to hate to go to Bluegrass RECC to pay the electric bill with Mom because Ann Moss, one of her best buddies, worked up there. And she would always give Mom a brand new fly swatter. And I knew as soon as I saw it come through that little window that it was going to get used on my behind. I absolutely knew it was going to happen. But I will say, for any of those people out there listening that think spanking is wrong, I never got one that I didn't deserve.
Me too.
And every one I got, it didn't hurt me. I mean, I'm not talking about physically.
Hurt your feeling.
But as far as the way I turned out, I don't think it hurt me too much. So, but that's the way that I was done. Mama took care of it.
Yeah,
of course, in mine too, Judy, and maybe it wasn't yours. I knew that if I didn't straight up for Mama, that Daddy would be home sometime. And so I better straighten up now because down the road might be even worse.
Yeah. Well, Mother, she would go get a switch off the tree. Yeah. That's what she would use.
Well, and that was the way you did it.
Yeah.
Did she ever send you to get your own?
I don't know if you did or not.
Now, I've heard my mother say that that happened to her. She'd have to go pick out her own, and it better be the right size, or she'd get it even worse. Those are days gone by. You just don't see those days anymore. Now, what year did we lose her in?
February 2010.
So 6 years ago. Things have not changed a lot in our town in 6 years. You know, we've had some programs on here of people who have been gone for 30 years, and we've often talked about how they would what they would think if they could come back. But he pretty much saw the growth in the town and witnessed it. But he also witnessed, and this was part that I guess affected you all the most, the farming community dwindling away. You know, the other day, we were on a trip, and I'm trying to remember where we even were. Oh, we had gone over to Madison County and saw one of the prettiest crops of tobacco.
Yeah.
And I just thought to myself, how long has it been since I've seen a crop of tobacco like that? You just don't see it. And I guess the cattle business, maybe, was it kind of the same way? Did it kind of dwindle some?
It slowed down.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
and, of course,
down.
We know the coal business.
Yeah,
then,
it's gone.
Yeah.
Well, Bennis's wife, Roberta, still has a coal yard, and she sells a little bit, but, you know, it's not
But not
much.
Like it was.
No.
When you all were involved heavily. So he did get to see some of those things.
Oh, yeah.
And the changes that he got. And I could, maybe I'm wrong, but I probably could hear him right now saying, well, I just can't believe that would ever happen.
They wouldn't believe it.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, things change. They call it progress. Sometimes it's good and sometimes it's not. But you guys were around here all your life, so you saw things change tremendously in our community. What's some of your favorite memories from, well, you mentioned in high school going to Hemp Hills. What's some of your favorite memories of that time as far as our town is concerned?
Well, all the restaurants, too, that's in town now. You know, we hadn't hardly anything.
Yeah, I guess back
when I was growing up.
When you were, what do you remember?
We had the drive-in.
George's.
That's where we all went to hang out, or Hemp Hills.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, we didn't have that many places to eat.
It's really odd that, but downtown, though, Judy, was packed with businesses of all kinds.
Oh, yeah, the dime store, Ben Franklin.
And on the site, you know, how they used to be all over by the courthouse, all the men folks get.
Right.
And we would come to town and try to find us a parking place so we all can get in one car.
You know, we did a show one time. We were talking about old service stations. John B. Carpenter Jr. did the program with me, did a lot of research on it. And he was talking about how they used to double park on Main Street on Saturdays. That he could remember, you know, cars would come up and they'd park. And he said another thing he remembered is that if it got real hot, you just find a car and you just open the door and sit down. It might not be your car, but you knew who it belonged to. And nobody seemed to mind.
That's it.
That was back when everybody knew everybody.
Yep.
And you could do that
and you could
kind
trust
of
people.
Thing. But you're talking about the restaurants. Yeah, I guess George's on, and that was out in the county then.
Yeah.
That, you had to go way out in the county to get to that. And your Hemphills and Well, Baskets restaurant down here. That you're right. That was about Chef Sears.
Yeah.
If you really want to go highfalutin.
And then we got Dairy Queen, I guess.
Yeah.
Walker Rose Cottage Place. You went to what there, Judy did?
The little, he had a little dairy freeze or.
Walter Rose Carter did that?
Yeah. Well, wrote.
Where they're going to put the homeless thing in.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know he had one there.
Mm-hmm. You didn't?
No.
Yeah, I worked
there. She went to work there.
Of course, that's a whole other subject that we've not even broached on this program, and I need to do a program about Walter Rose sometime.
Yes.
A great mystery in our community, whatever happened to Walter Carter.
Yeah, that's where Judy's first job was.
Yeah. Yeah, things have changed, certainly, and some may be for the better and some maybe not. But just the whole look of downtown. But, of course, back then, you know, when you went to Lexington, that was a big trip.
Oh, yeah.
And so you didn't just run to Lexington to get what you needed. It was all down here. You didn't have to run. It was all down here. And, of course, back then, Teeny, and you would remember this even better than us probably, is, you know, you come to town once a week to get your stuff, and that was it.
Yes.
And it was a big trip. Now, you were here every day for high school, but as far as getting your groceries and supplies, you made a one-week trip, and you came and you went. Where did your family shop for groceries back then?
Thompson.
Right.
And then, see, we used to have lots of grocery store here.
Yeah,
on
that's the reason I asked, because there was a lot of them.
Yes.
Yeah.
We went to Heathman's, too, a little bit.
Yeah, but Thompson's, and then Kroger store was right here on Main Street. Don't you remember that?
You,
and old Miss Stanbach.
Now, Stanbach would have been kind of below where we are right now, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But you were mentioning the groceries. You're right. On that one, you had Kroger. It used to sit over where my office is right now. And then you had Thompson's Market and Heathman's and Oscar Cumley.
Yeah, I was thinking of that.
There was a bunch up through here of just grocery stores.
Mm-hmm.
And then you add in the three or four pharmacies, and then you add in all the dime stores.
Yes,
clothing stores.
And clothing, bunch of clothing stores.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a hopping little town. There was a lot of stuff to choose from here.
Mm-hmm.
It's great to remember these things.
I wish they all could come back like it was, because we don't have any place down here to buy clothes almost.
And that is the difference, and I think that because of the fact that we have gotten so big and so close to Lexington especially is the reason for that. The hometown that it used to be is no more.
No.
And it won't be, and we just have to. Have you ever thought, and I'm not saying this to get rid of, have you ever thought about moving to where she's at, or is this where Teeny will stay?
No, well, I hope to. But if it can't, if Judy wants me to go down there to a nursing home or something, yes, I will.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to give her any trouble.
But you've got so many friends up here.
I know.
So many good people.
I love them. Everybody loves me, and I love them.
That has helped you, especially when Red was sick and died, just to get you through
that. My neighbors been me at produce and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And they come and help me, and so I've got a whole lot to be blessed for.
But you know what? And it's not that those people weren't good to start with, but there's an old saying, what goes around comes around.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, all of this good stuff that people helping you, your husband laid the foundation for that.
Yes.
He laid the roadwork for that.
He sure did.
By the way he treated people. People don't forget it either.
No, they don't.
They don't forget it. Well, believe it or not, our time's up. It goes quick, doesn't it?
It does.
It goes quick. But I appreciate you guys coming in to remember Red. Red, one of the nicest guys I ever knew. I don't know that there was a time that if I saw him, I mean, he was always the same, just as nice as he could be, and he was to a whole lot of people.
He would yell at you. You didn't say something to him, he'd yell
at you. Oh, yeah, he'd holler at you, and you knew he was there. Now, that's one thing about him. He might be short, but he had volume.
He sure did.
And any kid that weighed 10'8" when he was born probably had a pretty good set of lungs on him to start with. So I think he made good of his life. He did what he needed to do. He had a full life. And he certainly was a great contribution to our county. We miss him. And I know you guys
do
too.
Yeah,
I know you do. But I appreciate you coming. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I appreciate Teenie Stinnett coming in this morning along with her daughter Judy and remembering Milton Stinnett and what he meant to our community. We appreciate you coming in also every Saturday morning at 11 o'clock. We hope to do it again next week. We'll be right here on All Things Jessamine on Jessamine County's own radio station, Jess FM 105.9.
In 1934, a brand new house cost about $6,000. The cost of a gallon of gas was 10 cents. And in 1934, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County opened their doors at 200 North Main Street in Nicholasville. And they've been there ever since. The times may have changed, but Farmers Bank is still here. Still proud to be the only locally owned and locally operated bank in Jessamine County. Banking with friends and neighbors. Farmers Bank, equal housing lender, member FDIC.